Holly, let's go to the hotline and bring in our guest for this week.
Jenny Gomes writes easy-to-understand, beginner-friendly tutorials and recipes for those eager to try out homemade food and crafts. She takes old-fashioned skills and makes them fit a busy modern life. When she's not caring for her two small children or teaching English online, she's busy writing her blog, The Domestic Wildflower, and she has a book coming out very soon, The Pressure Canning Cookbook. Welcome to the program, Jenny.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, we appreciate you taking time out of your day, not only to educate Holly and myself, but all of our listeners. And I will start with this because there can be confusion with this. Let's talk about the difference between pressure canning and water bath canning first.
Okay, great question. Water bath canning is appropriate for high acid recipes like jam, jelly, applesauce, and vegetable pickles. And pressure canners are appropriate for when you're canning low acid recipes, and that would be meats, beans, or plain vegetables. Those are all low acid foods, and because you don't have that acid of fruit to help create an environment inside the jar that would be inhospitable to spoilers, you need that extra high heat, that 240 degrees Fahrenheit that a pressure canner can achieve to kill any spoilers that might be present. So that's the difference. You need the pressure canner for low acid recipes.
And pressure canner is different than a pressure cooker.
That's correct. A pressure canner has a gauge on top that helps you to see how much pressure, how many pounds of pressure are being built up inside. And a pressure canner can be used as a pressure cooker, but not the other way around.
So I just want to talk about this because I know this comes up sometimes. Even like those Instant Pots, those are like considered pressure cookers. You cannot can in them.
That is correct. Some are marketed as being able to pressure can, but in testing done by cooperative extension offices, they failed to get hot enough, especially above sea level. So the recommendation from cooperative extension offices, which I support, is that pressure cookers should be used not for canning.
Fantastic. So I'm just curious how you got into canning. I didn't grow up canning, and I learned to can, I don't know, probably about 10 years ago or so. How did you get into canning?
I grew up on a cattle ranch in the really rural tip-top of California, and my mom and my grandma canned. We had a big garden, and most moms I know that I knew as a child, they also canned. And then as a grown-up, I was pregnant with my first child, and I was, as many expectant mothers do, I was starting to worry in advance about what types of foods my baby would eat. And I relearned how to can, and my first winter, I canned probably 100 jars of applesauce. And I learned a lot, and I saw that there were good books out there, but there weren't any that were, I thought, geared towards a busy working mom or family. And most of the batch sizes were really large. And that is when I just started to realize that there wasn't a whole lot of information that was geared toward my type of life, like with recipes that could be completed within a couple hours, like during nap time. But that's how I got started.
Well, why is safe canning so important? Because I'm sure you've seen it. We've seen it. We've been kicked off groups for saying stuff. There are groups and people online that it doesn't matter if it's safe or not. They're asking how to do it, and you best tell them how, or you leave the group.
Right. So there is a culture of unsafe canning practice out there, and I'm a person that teaches practical, safe advice. So I think that it's just really great to remember that canning science or just information about food safety has been around for a really long time. Many of the canning recommendations that I go by that, that the cooperative extension offices and the USDA recommend have been around since the 60s and before. So, like, one recommendation is to use new canning lids. If you're using a regular ball-style two-piece metal lid, the recommendation has been since the 1960s to use new canning lids for canning just to create a reliable seal. And people sometimes like to say that, that I don't want the government telling me how to can. And that I just think is really misplaced, a misplaced idea. I think a lot of the recommendations have been around a long time and they're based on really old, frankly, pretty boring food science.
Well, and there's people that don't like the government that still recommends a safe canning because they don't want to die.
Well, I think it doesn't even have to be quite as exciting. It can just be that you don't want to waste your time and have food that goes bad. You know, I think people really like, especially now that it's going to be an election year, I just am seeing more and more of that online, where if there's a sense of dissatisfaction with the government, which, I mean, my goodness, who's satisfied with the government? I don't think anyone is. Everybody is hoping for better, right? But there's just this sense that that canning recommendations are a reflection of something political, and I don't personally hold that idea. I think that the recommendations are very old, and there's something you can see with a microscope. They're just very basic food safety things, like the temperature at which that you want a low acid recipe to be processed at, over 240 degrees. That's really basic stuff.
And as food has changed, so has these recommendations in order to make it safe.
Sure, that's a great point. People always love to comment, you know, on social media or remind me that their grandmother never added citric acid or another acidifying ingredient to her tomatoes. But the fact remains that tomatoes have been bred over the last 50 to 100 years to be less acidic. They've been bred to be sweeter and bigger and redder and rounder and more sliceable. They've been bred to travel a long ways in a semi-truck. So they have been all become more alkaline and less acidic as a result.
So your book, Pressure Canning, the Pressure Canning Cookbook, Step-by-Step Recipes for Pantry Staples, Gut Healing Broth, Meat, Fish, and More, comes out next month in April. What was your inspiration for it, and which you had kind of talked about? And then tell us something that will encourage our listeners to pick up a copy.
Great question. I was inspired to write it because I found that there are some great pressure canning guides out there that don't necessarily help me figure out what's for supper. And I thought I wanted to write a pressure canning book that had safe guidance, good, clear directions. You mentioned really briefly that I'm a teacher, and I am an English teacher. And I thought the thing that I can add to the canning space is excellent directions fit for a beginner. And I wanted to create a canon of recipes that were safe for pressure canning that would solve the question of what am I going to serve, you know, tonight for supper. So that's what I hope that it brings to the canning space, is really good meal ideas, or at least sides ideas, that you could heat up really quickly and have a delicious meal essentially in a jar.
So if someone is unsure about canning something, let's say like meat, what suggestions do you have to encourage them to take that step if they've never done meat?
Sure. And it can seem really daunting. But I think that once I got comfortable pressure canning, I realized that there is, in some ways, it is easier to use a pressure canner because the instructions that come with your pressure canner, either you acquire one brand new or you get a used one from thrifting or from a friend or your mother-in-law, and it is really important that you get a manual, and any pressure canner that you should use will have a manual available for free on the manufacturer's website. That's a great pro tip. So once you get the manual, read through it, and you'll see that every single step is very clearly outlined. Exactly how much water to put in the bottom of the pressure canner. Exactly how long to exhaust it, where you're filling the pot with pure steam. And it tells you every step that you're supposed to follow. So I think that what is encouraging about that is that there's very little room for the operator to make any decisions. You're just simply following the steps that are clearly outlined. The fun part, the thing that I can bring to the canning space, is the recipe ideas and the ideas for how to break the process into smaller chunks that you could fit into smaller windows of time.
Now, when one maybe acquires or inherits one of these pressure canners, is there a place in which they can go and get it checked to give them peace of mind that it's not going to blow the kitchen apart with
right.
making sure the seals are good and all that? How do they go about doing that?
That's a great question. Your best bet, if you are acquiring a used or older pressure canner, is to take it to a cooperative extension office near you, and they can offer specific guidance on sourcing replacement parts, finding a manual, or just checking the pressure gauge to ensure that it is measuring accurately. If you do not have a cooperative extension near you, and some of us don't, the next best thing is to have the gauge checked at a tire shop. Make friends with your local tire guy, and he can pressure check that gauge to make sure that it's accurate, which is really important. You're depending on that dial to be reading accurately, and if you're getting a used pressure canner that was in someone's garage, for example, it may not be accurate.
And depending on what altitude you are, that makes a big difference on where that gauge
right.
needs to be read as well.
Right.
So what is your best pressure canning safety tip that you would just tell anybody and everybody who is going to pressure can?
Sure. The best safety tip I have is I have really tried hard to ask every person that's ever tried to tell me the story of they know someone and, you know, the lid blew up. It's always some sort of story like that, and I've always tried to ask exactly what happened. And invariably, the problem was that the person was in a hurry, and they removed the lid before all the pressure had been released within. So it just goes back to just simply following the directions. If the directions for your particular pressure canner tell you to wait a certain amount of minutes or tell you to wait until a particular indicator on the lid is flush, like with my pressure canner, there's a device that is flat against the lid, and that indicates that there's no more pressure inside. I think that is the thing that ends up causing people a fright or injury or broken jars inside, is that they are in too big of a hurry to take the lid off. If I'm done with my pressure canning process, I usually just turn the stove off, slide that pot off of the burner, and then go do something else. I can go do a load of laundry. I can go do chores around the house. Come back in an hour. There's no reason to be in a rush to take those jars out. And if I had to, let's say, drive my kids to the school bus or something, or go pick them up, I would leave it in the pot. There's no harm. No terrible thing will happen if you leave it inside the pressure canner for an hour or so.
Now, there's all different sizes of pressure canners. Is there a beginner size that you would recommend for somebody who kind of wants to get into it but doesn't want to dive headfirst into a giant, massive pressure canner?
Yeah. I think the pressure canner that I have is the 16-quart Presto, which is a good quality pressure canner that's easy for a beginner to use. It is a smaller size. It holds, I think, 7 quarts, maybe 8, but I think 7 quarts for sure. And that is enough for my size family and my size kitchen, and it fit my budget when I purchased it. That said, Presto makes one larger size, and I believe they are the only brand that makes a pressure canner that works for an induction burner. All American is an American-made, excellent quality brand that offers the metal-to-metal seal with the metal lid clamping tightly to the pot itself. Its quality has a price point to match, and they have several sizes, and I believe now they even offer one of their sizes in several colors. So they have a very high-quality product that's also user-friendly, and they have a greater set of size options that you can choose from and color options.
Fantastic. Well, we really enjoyed having you on the program today, Jenny. Can you tell our listeners, again, how to get a hold of your book that's coming out and all of your great information and how they can get a hold of you?
Great. The Pressure Canning Cookbook will be out April 2nd of 2024, and it's available anywhere books are sold, including Amazon, and it will be available in Tractor Supply stores coming soon. I blog at thedomesticwildflower.com. I hang out on social media on Instagram, and my handle there is at @thedomesticwildflower. And I'm the co-host of a preserving podcast called Perfectly Preserved that you can listen to anywhere you get your podcast.
Well, Jenny, thank you so much for the time you've offered Holly and myself and the education you provided all of our listeners. We thank you for that.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.